Greetings, everyone. Welcome to House Mountain Views and to the Boone series. Boone is an East Tennessee teenager on his own at 16 and facing long odds. His daddy taught him rage and not to trust anybody. His mother taught him to keep his head down and hope nobody notices him. Now they're both gone, and what he knows about making it as an adult is next to nothing. He's basically a decent kid, but he's carrying around so much anger and insecurity that sometimes it's hard for him to do the right thing, even when he can figure out what that is. Pushing Back, Matching Scars, and Keeping Secrets, the three books in the series so far, are all written from Boone's point of view. My name is Jim Hartzell, and I hope you enjoy getting to know Boone as much as I have. Thanks for joining us. Pushing Back, Book 1 in the Boone series by Jim Hartzell. Chapter 8. I panic for a minute and then try to get myself together. Whoever it is at the front door, which we never use. We always use the kitchen door. So this is somebody I don't know. I take a quick peek out the side window and see a silver Honda sitting in the yard. Don't know the car. For a second, I consider pretending I'm not home, but I had the TV on pretty loud, so that probably won't work. I go to the front door and open it a crack. Yeah? Mr. Everett? I try not to breathe on the guy. No, one more house up. Thanks. I open the door a little farther. The man is in a suit and has a briefcase. Everything okay? He turns back. Just some business with Mr. Everett. Are you a friend? I nod. Lived here for years. He sighs. You might want to look in on him later on. Turning back, he goes to his car, gets in, and backs out into the road. As he drives up the road, I wonder what is going on with the old man Everett. Maybe I'll look in on him tomorrow. The next morning is halfway gone before I remember I was going to check on the old man. I get on my bike and ride up to his house. The place looks like it usually does, like nobody lives there. When I get up on the porch, I see that the front door is open. I've never seen that before, and I stop while I try to figure out what to do. Finally, I open the screen door and knock on the glass. Mr. Everett, it's Boone from down the hill. Is everything okay? I hear something I can't make out. Pushing the door farther open, I try again. Mr. Everett, are you okay? It shocks me when the music starts. It's low and mournful-like and doesn't sound like a radio. Too many mistakes, and the song starts and stops over and over. I take a step inside the front room, the first time I've been in his house. Maybe the first time anybody in this town has been in his house. Music is louder now, and it sounds like it's right in front of me. It's really gloomy in here. No lights that I can see. The windows all have heavy curtains that cover most of every window. I take another step. It sounds like fiddle music. Does old man Everett play the fiddle? The song stops and starts up again. This time I hear a voice. It's his. It sounds like he's having to force the words out. I listen for a minute and recognize the song. Mama used to take us to church and tried to get Daddy to go. Didn't give up until after Frankie died. But I remember the old hymns, the four-part harmonies. This was one they played and sang every other week. Just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Then the voice, which is definitely old man Everett's, sounded like a man weeping and singing at the same time, gives way to the fiddle and it stumbles through part of the song, and then there's a crash and the sound of a man crying, weeping. I take another step, and I'm at a wide doorway to my left, and I'm looking into an old parlor. Looks like one of those old movies from the classic movie channel, all dark wood and a thick rug on the floor and a mantle with what looks like 100 pictures on it. An old man Everett sitting on a footstool with his head in his hands and a fiddle at his feet. I step on into the room, and it's a minute before he notices me. He just stares at me for a few seconds and then puts his head back down. He's staring at the fiddle, which looks like it's still in one piece. "Mr. Everett, a guy stopped by my house yesterday looking for you and said I should check on you. Did something happen? Can I do something?" "I've never tried to comfort anybody outside my family before. It feels weird, like I'm intruding." "I guess I am intruding, in his house for the first time and him sitting in front of me all broken and sad. I don't know what else to say, so I just stand there feeling foolish." We stay that way for 4 minutes. I know because up on the mantle there's a clock with a loud tick, and I noticed the time when I came in. After the 4 minutes, I decide I should leave, and now I don't know whether or not to say goodbye. I'll come back later. Hope you feel better. I don't know what's happened to make him so sad, and I don't know what to say. I decide on nothing. Start to turn around when he looks up at me. What did you say?" I'm confused for a minute and then realize he's talking about what I said 4 minutes ago. "I said that a guy stopped by yesterday looking for you, said I should check on you."
"He say anything else?"
No, sir, nothing else."
"Good. Nobody's damn business. Not your business either, damn nosy neighbors."
I wince a little at that. It sounds like something Daddy might say. Then I remind myself he's not Daddy. That Daddy would say that about any little thing. Mr. Everett is really upset about something. I wonder if somebody in his family is dead, but I can't think how to ask, and besides, he's kind of told me to get out just now, so I start to turn again.
"You sure he didn't say anything else?"
His voice is still thin, but easier to hear without a door between us. I take a chance and step closer. "Yes, sir, I'm sure. Can I get you anything or do something for you? You look really sad." He didn't say anything for what seems like another 4 minutes, but it was probably more like 10 seconds. Then,
"You just go on home now."
I didn't move.
"You hear me? Go on back down the hill to your old drunk daddy and leave me alone."
His voice is not loud, but maybe as loud as he can make it. He starts to get up. I put my hands out in front of me like I was going to push him back down, but I back up instead and say, I'm going right now." When I get out on the porch, I close the door and the screen and head on back home. 2 days later, I'm back on his front porch. I'm not sure why I'm there, just can't get the old guy out of my mind. Still no word from Mama or Hannah. Nobody seems much interested in me, which I think is just fine, but it gives me time to think about stuff, and what I'm thinking is that I should go back and check on Mr. Everett. So here I am, getting ready to knock on his door when it opens a crack and I see him looking out at me.
"Thought I told you to go home."
You did, Mr. Everett, and that's just what I did. That was day before yesterday. And I just thought I'd come back and look in on you again, if that's all right with you." He closes the door. Stubborn old fart, I think to myself as I'm going back down the steps. "You don't have to worry about me coming back and bothering you again." Another week goes by with no word from Mama or Hannah, and I'm back and forth between being mad at them and feeling sorry for myself. Then I realize that what I have not done since all this started is check the mailbox. It's full to overflowing, but I can tell before I even get back to the house that a lot of it's trash. I sit down and start sorting. Everything's going into the throwaway pile, and then I run across two I set aside. One's the electric bill. I knew that was coming sooner or later, and I was dreading opening that one. The other one is addressed to me in Mama's handwriting. I open the electric bill first. $68.45. Damn. I think I'm screwed until I remember there were four of us in here for a lot of that. Still need to be careful. Before opening Mama's letter, I get a glass and pour a little shine into it and add a little ice. That finishes off the first jar, but I'll think about that later. I take a drink and tear the envelope. There's money in here, folded inside a 2-page letter. $50. The letter reads, "Dear son, I am sending you this money because I know your daddy never checks the mail. I hope you remember to. That night, the night I called Claire, was the worst. Your daddy's been drunk and mean before, but I just couldn't take it anymore. I feel like a coward leaving the two of you, but I was so scared. Still am. When I talked to Hannah, told her that Claire would come to pick her up from school, it broke my heart that you weren't there for me to talk to. I wanted to tell you instead of writing it all down, but it's been too long now, and I need to let you know what I've decided. I can't come back, not ever. Your daddy has done some things, you know that, but he's done some things you don't know about. I can't tell you because I'm too ashamed. I can't even think about him without crying, and I need to finish this letter. I had to leave to get away from all that because he wasn't going to stop, not ever. And I had to get out of there. I had to get Hannah out of there before she got older and she had something here and scratched it out, almost tore a hole in the paper. I can't make out what it was. Noticed her. She's just a little girl, just 7 years old. I had to get her out of there. It's different with you. You're almost a man. You can leave soon and get away from him. The only thing he'll do to you is give you a beating, and you're getting so big that won't last much longer. Don't let him turn you mean like him, Boone. Don't let him do that to you. He's ruined me. I had to get out to save Hannah, and it tore me apart not to take you with us. You stay in school, you hear me? You stay in school and get that diploma and then get out of there. Leave him to himself. He was a good man once back when he was courting me. He was so good-looking and used to get me things, tell me how pretty I was, but all that's gone now. I don't think he'll change back. He's too far down that road. You can't turn out like him. There's too much good in you. I know that. I've seen it. I'll send more money when I can. Claire's going to help me get a job, and she says I can stay with them as long as I need to. I love you and hope to see you someday. Don't tell your daddy about this or the money. Maybe you should burn this letter or take it to school and throw it away. The envelope, too. All of it. I don't think he remembers where Claire lives, but I can't take a chance on that. I love you. Mama." I read it through 2 or 3 times and then toss it on the table. I feel like I'm about to cry and I feel like I'm about to tear something up and I don't know which way to go. I'm trembling sitting there. I'm thinking, how could you leave me, Mama? And then maybe I should call her and tell her about Daddy. And then, no, I can't do that. She'll come back down here and make me dig him up so we can bury him proper. And maybe she can see for herself he's dead. And then I'm looking around the room and I see stuff that makes me think of Mama everywhere I look. And then I'm tearing stuff off the walls and ripping drawers open and shouting at the ceiling, and then I'm on the floor crying, crying. It takes me a while to stop. And then I get up and look around the room. It's a mess. It looks just like it did that night when Daddy tore it up, when he hit Mama, that night just before she left. And I know I've got some of Daddy in me, and it scares me. It scares me to death. I don't want that part, but I look around the room and I know it's in there. It's in there if I get pushed hard enough. Right then, I understand Daddy a little better than I have in a long time, maybe ever. He got walked on and pushed around out there on his job in the town. He had to push back and he couldn't push them, so we were it. What we did didn't have to be big or even real. It was all inside him, and it had to come out, and it came out all over us. I hope you enjoyed this installment of the Boone series. The background music you hear is "The Wind That Shakes the Barley," played on a Masterworks hammer dulcimer. If you can't wait to find out what happens next, or you want a copy for yourself, the Boone series and all my other books are available on my website, housemountainviews.com. I also encourage you to support any independent bookstores in your area. Stop by and ask for the title you're interested in. If they don't have it, they can probably order it for you. Thanks for spending your time here at House Mountain Views. Y'all take care of yourselves and stay in touch.